The Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1997 General Convention held at Claremont McKenna College in Claremont, California. The speaker for this session is Brother Daniel Milneck, whose subject is Asking for a Sign.
We have started yesterday by considering this text here, talking about a vision. And I thought that we should maybe spend some minutes now together by asking if we need a sign. We like visions, of course. We are studying the prophecies to have a better vision about what will be in the future, what could be today, what happens in the past, also to learn for the future. But if you open your Bible in Matthew 16th chapter, and verse 4, and I am reading from a New International Version, which is easier for me as a European. Sorry about the differences you may have with your King James or some other versions. The Pharisees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. 16 verse 1. But the answer was on verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. What is the sign of Jonah, dear brethren? You remember? 3 days, three nights. You remember? This is the biggest sign for Jesus itself too. Why? 3 nights, 3 days, what? You see, we will not argue today, of course, if it is 3 days and 2.5 nights, etc. You know those questions about the brethren. But the sign is that Jesus came and died, and 3 days and 3 nights after came back in a different form, of course. This is the sign of Jonah for the Jews. And I am asking ourselves, do we need a sign today? You remember in Matthew 24 and 27. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Isn't that a sign? Is visible from the east to the west. Sometimes I have the feeling, at least we in Europe, we are spending a long time by talking about this second presence in little details, maybe very interesting details. But do we need a real sign, another one, in addition to all the signs we have? Or are we here to follow the signs as a time frame from this God's plan? Returning to Matthew 16 and verse 6. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. Be careful, said our Savior. Don't eat too much from that what those are giving you to eat. Don't believe it so fast. See on chapter 15, and verse 14, Matthew 15, 14. Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. They are blind. They asked the Lord for a sign. Now, dear brethren, I am asking myself, do I need another sign, a special sign? If yes, I am in a bad shape. If no, I have to be satisfied by that what the Lord gave us or gave to me today. Following this idea, we go to John chapter 3. I cannot read everything because two brethren told me I don't have to go over the hour today because of the picture. So you have to think fast too with me. John chapter 3, from the beginning. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, kind of committee for the international or for the convention, you see, a ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. He came in the night and says that to our Lord, to Jesus. And the question or the answer from Jesus was, if you are not born again, you cannot be in the kingdom of God. And he didn't understand that, you remember. Born again? How can I go back into my mother? Listen to the verse 10. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? I have the feeling, dear brethren, this is addressed to me, maybe to us, the elders and the deacons. We have some responsibility also. We should understand, maybe, those visions and signs which are permanent around us today. Of course, I don't have the feeling that we are perfect, that we know everything. But remember, we are many today. We have a lot of possibility to communicate, to be in relation and strong contact with each other in different parts of the earth, coming from different education, having a different knowledge and experience from our Christian life, and having a different help from our classes and brethren living with us in our spiritual life. So maybe we should take that in account and ask ourselves if we need some think more to understand more where we are, where we are going, what happens in the world today. You see that here Jesus recognized that this Nicodemus was a good Pharisee. He had a responsibility, but still he didn't understand what Jesus said to him. We have maybe something more for us. Look at John chapter 10, verse 24. The Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense if you are the Christ? Tell us plainly. At the end of verse 26, or 27, sorry. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is maybe the answer, brethren. If we are that sheep, if we are known by our Savior, we are able to follow him too. Not only follow by believing he's back again, but like yesterday some brethren said, by showing with actions and with understanding what does it mean. Don't be this one like Nicodemus and listen from our Lord that you are a teacher, you are a well-experienced Christian, and you do not understand these things. This is a terrible answer we will get from our Lord, dear brethren. We have possibilities and possibilities to learn here. How do our God speak to us? How do our Lord teach us? What is the answer? Are you expecting a vision, a miracle, a special sign to be enlightened? Maybe it is a child today who is learning me something. Sometimes it is a poor sister teaching me in a certain way. Sometimes I just have to pay attention to something to be learned from God, etc., etc. You don't have this feeling in your life today that we need to be taught, and we are taught all of the time. The brethren said that to us yesterday, if you remember. Do we pay attention to that? This is the real question. If you like to pay attention, I think you have to have the feeling of compassion in yourself. You have to see the other ones. You don't have to go through these people only because you are there. But you have to see the details of a smiling, or of a disease, or of a pain, etc., etc. These are maybe the first steps we have to follow to be sure that we pay enough attention to that what we have today, spiritually, I mean, to eat every day, and especially in this week here all together. There is another point I like to mention here in a few minutes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I am reading the second part of verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 4, 5. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Of course, you may say this is Paul's defense of his ministry. Of course, we are not, at least I am not comparing myself to Paul or to another apostle. But this tells something to us also, in my opinion, dear brethren. We are able in a certain way to take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. We are in the position to argue in that right way with some others. And they will have no argument against our theory, brethren. Do you believe in that? That you have this power in yourself? Do you try to use it? We said at the beginning of our Christian life, yes, I like to do your will and not my will anymore. And maybe we think that we do now this will every day. I don't think so. We have to struggle and we have to fight against ourselves. We have to open our mind and heart. We have to be very sensitive to everything. Remember, dear brethren, God is looking 24 hours a day for us. If we are sleeping, He's taking care about us. If we are traveling, the Lord is taking care about us. If we are growing from that size to that size, He's taking care about everything. Jonah gave a nice prayer. We will go back to him afterwards. He was in that great fish, in that big fish, in the ocean. He prayed, and the Lord listened to him. But we go back afterwards. I cannot follow in that way. Here the point was that we have a certain power. We should be aware about that. Because of what? Look at Ephesians in chapter 5, and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. You are the light today, not only tomorrow, but today. This ends the first part of the consideration. Do we need really a sign or not? Are we really believers? Do we have enough knowledge? Are we able to transmit this knowledge to the other one? And are we able to listen to every little sign, every little thing the Lord is telling us or like to show us to us? Now we go to another picture in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 4. We will not read the verses from 38 to the end, to 44, but I am sure you know, brethren, what I am talking about. It was time for Elisha to be in Gilgal, and they had nothing to eat on that time. And as you know, he multiplied the bread for over 100 people. He feed people. Now, we have heard yesterday that this Elisha could be a nice picture for Jesus Christ with the little flock in the near future, in the millennium, by feeding and by cleaning the truth, by feeding the people, etc., etc. Here, he sent first one man to go after herbs. They like to have a soup, or in French we say a soup, something to eat. And this man took some wild wine, which was not good to eat. And they said, O man of God, there is dead in the pot. And they could not eat it. Elisha said, get some flour. He put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people to eat. Another man came from Baal Shalisha, which is in Ephraim, if I'm right, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain. And Elisha said again, give it to the people to eat. And he said, how can I set this before 100 men? But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat. They will eat and have some left over. Of course, we are remembering Matthew chapter 14 and 15, the two times where Jesus feeds once 5,000 people and a second time 4,000 people, excluding women and children. That means if we are talking of 5,000 men, maybe there were 12 to 15,000 people there to be fed. And if you remember that what he said, just go back to Matthew 14, around and 13 to 21. But listen to the word, to the verse 16. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. They should stay here. They are following me since now 1 or 2 days. This is compassion, brethren. And he said to the apostles, you give them something to eat. And this is more than compassion. Jesus had only the power to give to those 10 to 20,000 people bread and fish to eat. But he said to his disciple, you will give them something to eat. Brethren, I am asking now, is the Lord asking us the same question today? In the time we are living, do we have this opportunity to give something to eat? First to our children and teenagers, to our family, relatives, neighbors, to the whole world. Do we have a special mission to do it? Do we have a special vision to do it? I think no. At least I would say no. But we have an opportunity to do it. If we have compassion and if we have open eyes to the needs of the other ones. You see, with Nicodemus, Jesus didn't criticize from scratch. He said twice, you have to be born again. But afterwards, he said, you should understand it. See? This is, for me at least, a behavior which is very important. Going back now to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, the first verse. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. we could apply, and we have to, in my opinion, that verse to Jesus itself, of course. But if we feel being a part, or at least here, a potential part of his body, this verse is telling us the same thing today, dear brethren. We should be ready to bind up, to preach good news, and to help those who have some problems in their understanding. Maybe we spend a lot of time, at least some of us, to help practically. Of course, we should do it. But you know, not only the human beings are helping each other, some animals are also helping each other. Think to the elephants, for example. A little elephant is never alone. If one is sick, the other will take care about him, etc., etc. This is our reaction from the flesh side, which is a very good one. I'm not criticizing, of course, that. We should do it more and more, because it is also for us a way to please the Lord, of course. But it is not only the way. We should have a knowledge, and a very strong and deep knowledge, about where we are today, what happens today, what kind of signs are around us today. Think on Matthew 24th chapter, for example. And we shouldn't argue about that. But with humility, try to understand each other. Now, let's go to Jonah for the third part of our talk. We have, of course, not enough time to read everything, but we will remember 10 different points in that book of Jonah. First point, Lord came to Jonah and said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." That's the first point. This is a mission. In verse 3, chapter 1 of Jonah, "But Jonah ran away. He liked to go now to Tarshish." In my understanding, I'm not sure if I'm right, but Tarshish is Spain, or something not far away from Spain, which means more than 2,000 miles away from Nineveh. That's the reaction of Jonah. So you may think, of course, but he was a poor one, and, you know, it is a human being. The second lesson is in verse 9, second point. Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord." He was not a poor man without a good understanding about his faith. He said he understood that this storm came because he is in that boat. And he said to the people there in verse 11 and 12. The people said, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" Because he slept down in a deep sleep during that time. And he said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea." So he recognized that he had a good knowledge about the Lord, and he gave also the consequences of his action to that people. "You have to throw me. If not, you will have problems." So, in my opinion, Jonah was a strong man. not a poor one. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. You know the story. We are skipping the prayer in chapter 2. We would have a lot to say about that, but we have no time. But at the end only of this chapter 2, Jonah said, "But I, with a strong and thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you." And maybe if we are going to recognize that we do also something wrong, like Jonah is doing in that history here, then we should go back with thanksgivings and sacrifices to our Lord, which means prayer first. Recognize that first and do better afterwards. So the Lord said for a second time to him, chapter 3, verse 1, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed this time. But Nineveh was a big city, if you remember. He needs 3 days to go from one side to other side from Nineveh. In the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And that returns immediately the king of Nineveh and all the people of Nineveh. And the king said in verse 7, "Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God." A strong reaction, immediate reaction. Why? In verse 9, "God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." And God had compassion. Chapter 4. But Jonah was greatly displeased. In this not what I said when I was still at home? I knew that you are good and you will have compassion. And he said, "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." The Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" You see, that story is maybe for the children first. I remember for now 30 or 40 years, some brethren learned us that because it is a nice story. But this Jonah is something, is a special case, in my opinion. He had a strong faith. We have a strong faith. He had a mission. Maybe we have also something to do as a potential little flock here on this side of the wheel. He had problems, of course. We have either problems. But do we have to argue like Jonah with our Lord today? Or to ask for signs, special signs like the Pharisees before? And you know the story with this wild wine and the worm who ate this wine in the night. And he was upset a second time. And a second time he wanted to die. And a second time God said to Jonah, "Do you have right to be angry about the wine?" Imagine, dear brethren, that we are also in a kind of similar situation, all together around the earth. Imagine that God is expecting from us something special today, in that end of this part of his plan. Maybe the Lord, our Savior, is maybe also expecting something special. Do we have to argue about dates or minor points? Or do we agree on a common vision about the near future, about what's qualified us to be there on the right side, I mean, as a little flock? Let's drop some conclusions now. We do not ask for signs, special signs. We should observe signs as a time frame. Understand those signs and transmit this knowledge to our brethren, at least, who are maybe listening to us, because sometimes the world is not listening that. Number two, our vision of the kingdom should be clearly understood as a global vision, as a difference between that what we know and the other Christians. We should, like, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we should take the ideas of the other ones and scratch it down to that what Christ is expecting, like Paul did it. But, brethren, with humility, because we are not apostles. Number three, we are spirit begotten and have power over ideas and arguments. We have this light today. Do we feel in that way? Number four, we are teaching the truth. We do not prepare our meal. We have it for free, and we give it for free, and we have enough of them. But are we able to give it to the others? And I am talking to each of us, not only to the elders. Number five, don't run away if the Lord is asking for you. But, you know, sometimes we are expecting great things, and the Lord is asking just to help some others, or to sit quiet and be an example for the others, or to pay for the truth in a certain way, or to be present on the right time in the right way. We should open our eyes and minds and see what the Lord is asking from us. And I believe strongly, brethren, that each of us has something to do today in our Christian life. I don't believe that there are 10 or 20 or how many elders and the rest is sitting in nice chairs. I don't believe in that system. I don't like it. I believe in that we have something to do, from the smallest one to the biggest one, from the youngest one to the oldest one. Number six, don't fight with your heavenly Father like Jonah did. Number seven, don't expect to judge or see punishment now like Jonah, sitting down on that mountain and waiting. What happens now with Nineveh? I mean, compassion, brethren, is very important today. If we say we are at the end, if we say the end will be a terrible time for the whole world, it would be also a terrible time for us. We are sitting in that world 8 hours a day, at least for those who are working or going at school. So we will have a kind of terrible way also, or a terrible time. We have to have compassion, to see what happens and to help them. Number 9, we be always ready to do that what our Lord is expecting from us. To be ready on time is fundamental, brethren, in my understanding. Not to be ready only, but on time. And He is asking us every day something, if we are open to that. Number 10, our mission is to preach, to bind up, to proclaim freedom and Christian knowledge without expecting any recompenses for that or any good things for that. Just giving it. Like the Lord feeds 5,000 people. He didn't ask for thank you afterwards. Just give them, because we got it. We have it. We have this light. And if you like more light, you have to give up this light, what you have, to the others. If not, you are going into the saturation, in my understanding. So, brethren, we have to finish now, because time is running. I hope that I was not too strong with my talk. It was not directed to you, dear brethren, to myself first, to us, because in my understanding, this is our chance today to get this crown faster. We don't have to delay the time of the Lord because we are not good enough. We have to help, even if, of course, He doesn't need our help. But we have to be prepared to help, to be efficient, to show to the whole world there is a light on the mountain. This light, or a part of this light, you are, and I hope I am. God bless you, dear brethren, in your Christian life.
May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and make His face to shine upon thee. Amen.